We're happy to have Sean Parrish in the studio, and Sean is the publisher, editor, and lead writer of Northern Wilds and also North Shore Highway 61. And he's come here tonight to talk about a great article that's come out in the brand new issue, and it was just handed to both Dick and I, and we had a little preview of it today. Sean, welcome back to the Roadhouse.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Haven't had you in for a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's nice to see you here.
Yeah.
Of course, I grew up in Grand Marais, mm-hmm. Cook County, mm-hmm. and Dick has been here since... Yes, you're on, Dick. Okay. This has been here since... Dick has been here since the 70s.
72.
So we've seen a lot of changes ourselves, and you've been around Cook County
since the 80s,
since the 80s, now in downtown Hovland.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, which has a Renaissance fair already, does it not?
Right.
Yeah. Well,
there's been a Renaissance in Hovland as well.
There has been. That's very definite. But your article really has to do with... The changes that have come lately in Cook County and Grand Marais, can you describe to our folks some of the thoughts you have about what's happening here?
Well, I guess what got me started on this story is a 20-something said to me, how come nobody's talking about how hip Grand Marais is? And this was a while ago, and it got me thinking, and didn't really hear anybody talking about that, and I don't know really how well Grand Marais is defining itself right now. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking there's a story there. So I started out by talking to people. Buck was one of them that had been around here for a long time, baby boomers mostly, and about what is going on, what's happening. And I got one story from them, and it was mainly about how, you know, over time the community has gradually changed. But I wasn't getting to where I wanted to go. So then I started talking to the 20-somethings, who all led me to other 20-somethings, and who all said, yeah, there's something happening. This is a place to be. Mm-hmm. And we have kids that have grown up here that are going to college, coming back, deciding to stay. You have people moving from urban areas, young people moving in, trying to make it here. One thing I learned during this story is nearly every intern at the North House has ended up moving to Grand Marais.
Wow.
I don't think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm.
And that's some real talented people.
Yeah, exactly.
Those interns are very sharp, and it's hard to become one. They get a lot of applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and actually, I didn't talk to any dumb people, old or young, when I was working on this. But
you called me, didn't you?
Yeah, well.
Well, there you go.
That was at the beginning.
That's why I kind of stumbled there.
Had to think about that one.
Yeah. But I guess the simplest way to sum it up for people who live here is go in the co-op and look around. I mean, that's a really young group of people that's shopping in there most of the time.
And the people working there, too.
Yeah, exactly. And start looking around at some of the young professionals that are popping up all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, in... pretty much all the nonprofits have really young staffs, mm-hmm. you know, North House for one, the Art Colony, places like that. You know, they're out there and they're definitely becoming part of the place.
I wonder if the broadband addition is even going to make it more likely that we get young professionals up here who can telecommute.
I didn't have any of them mention that. The one thing that I think is going to make it or break it for most of them will be housing. The one thing that I heard that was kind of interesting, and I'm guessing just from having lived here a while, but I would say, you know, you guys were talking how long you had lived here before we came on the air, and probably the last time something like this happened up here would have been probably in the 70s. Mm-hmm. You had a pretty good migration of more adventurous people coming in. I think they're coming for different reasons. These kids are coming because they're creative. And mm-hmm. I shouldn't call them kids. Mm-hmm. They're not kids. Mm-hmm. Young adults, I suppose. But it's the same kind of thing. They're coming here because there's, you know, there's a vibe. There's a reason to be
here. In the 70s, it was more the back to the land kind of thinking.
Yeah.
And a lot of those folks are
included.
Yeah.
A number of those folks are still here. And, of course, that was the time that I arrived back here. So
mm-hmm.
I got to know them so well, just as... youngsters who are coming here now are going to congregate and become the backbone, sure. you know, of our next few generations. So,
And I think that was another thing that I heard, too, that I thought was pretty interesting, is one of them told me, you know, we're getting critical mass. Mm-hmm. You know, there's enough young people here. You can have friends. You can date. You mm-hmm. know, There's a you can have a social life. Mm-hmm. And then with all of the creative happenings, that's what's really drawing them here. You know, they can go out and listen to music any night of the week, basically. Mm-hmm. Yep. They can play music any night of the week if they so choose. There's any number of creative avenues they can enter into. And all that's really starting to gel for us, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that critical mass also has a lot to do with how things have evolved to this point as far as the structures, the restaurants, the artists, all of it? They all have to rest on one another to make this whole thing happen.
For sure, for sure. And that's occurred, you know, people brought up things like having a good hospital and clinic here. I mean, that's a good anchor, you know, and it also provides a lot of good employment. But all that stuff that has been developed over, say, the past 15 years or so, and some of it a lot longer than that. I mean, our colony goes much farther
back. In the 40s, and the Playhouse has been around a long time. And, and some of these restaurants have been around a while, but there are some newer ones.
Yeah.
And it is kind of fun, too. The Playhouse, I'm quite familiar with, is the young people that come into town. That's a great outlet for them, too, to be able to go up and do theater.
Yep.
You know, not just attend theater, but do theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. What you're focusing on really is the youth renaissance here, isn't it? I mean,
well, I guess when it really came down, I was interviewed on CBC in Thunder Bay earlier this week, and I said this, and I'll probably tick off everybody I interviewed, including Buck. But kind of what I heard from when I was talking to the baby boomers, they'd say, well, why is this place hip? And they'd go, well, we've always been cool. And when I'd talk to the young people, they'd say, well, I'll tell you why. You know, blah, 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 and talk to so-and-so. They're doing this and this and this, and you really should talk to so-and-so. Sure. I mean, there was just, I just found that's where the story led me, because that's where the real energy was with these younger people.
But I don't think we would have said that we've always been cool, at least in my group. We might have said there's always been a progression of that's moving forward in the arts.
You know, well, I don't know if you guys remember.
And it has kind of built on one another. It didn't just happen in the last 15 years.
No, definitely
but
not.
But this critical mass has happened.
Yeah.
With all these things have reached a level where they ride on each other.
But I think, you know, I think another thing is Graham Murray, certainly just in the time I've lived here, has come to appreciate the lake. And I talked to Joan Farnham, and she says, you know, that happened first in Duluth, where it turned its face to the lake and took its industrial area and created usable space.
And both of those things happened because the industrial areas went away. They failed.
Yep.
It wasn't
for a long time, people were hoping, praying it was going to come back, and they weren't going to, you know, prettify
and it's happening
it.
In Thunder Bay.
It's happening now in Thunder Bay in a very big way. Yeah. Yeah, and basically I'm hearing the same thing up there from people. They're seeing a real surge in young people moving in. You know, and you look, all of us have been other places and go other places. Not a lot that are as good as this part of the world.
No.
Be it here or Duluth or Thunder Bay.
Such great beauty here, and it's so relatively unspoiled that it's very attractive.
And very accessible.
Yep, exactly. You know, everything's available easily.
Yeah.
What role do you think nonprofits have had in this? And do they do it just because they evolve, or they evolve because they can, because we've developed the economics so that can happen, and culture?
Probably both. Mm-hmm. I'd just go back to saying, you know, most of the North House interns end up coming here and staying here. I mean, that says something about the power of the nonprofits.
But yet we still have, I think, 8% of the people are in their 20s and 12% are in their 30s. So it's still a small part of the population. The overall population from 55 and up is close to 50% of the people.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the other part of it, frankly, is that there is a renaissance of the older folks, too, people who have the money to be able to have a second home up here or to even retire up here and are here because, okay, now they can go to a nice restaurant, they can go to the play, they can go to a play, they can take a class at North House, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. And that age group has grown and become different and unrecognizable to some of us who've, you know, been here for a long time.
Absolutely. But I thought a lot about that, and I wonder if that renaissance was the pre-recession renaissance.
And well, definitely that helped.
You know, just
they're still here.
They're still here, but there's not a lot new ones coming in right now compared to what was going on 5-10 years ago.
No, but that'll change. I mean, you know, that if the economy comes back, presumably it will come back.
But if they're just getting older, and I guess what I'm thinking is you've got a whole generation of people now, and those of us that are older don't think about this. They're the first generation since the Great Depression that has gone through school, come out of school into really bad times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have a college degree, and what can you get? An unpaid internship.
Yeah.
You know, the baby boom is going to, you know, slowly lumber off center stage here. They're very reluctantly. But it's going to be really cool to see what happens next, because these are a generation that's tempered. I don't know how else to put it. They've got some realities they've had to face.
Well, the other thing, you know, that I know you mentioned earlier that housing is a problem, and I understand that because of the prices and so on. But the other thing about living up here is there are options that you don't have if you lived in the cities. You know, if you want a privy and you want a little cabin in the woods, you can build it yourself and without too much hassle and without too many codes or restrictions and eke out your living that way with housing. I mean, I remember feeling that when I came up here,
mm-hmm.
how free I was to do what I wanted to do in terms of building my own home and so on. So, I mean, I think people, if they're creative, are find ways to, and you see it around town, even there are a lot of little cabins in Grand Marais. It's kind of amazing.
Yep.
What do you see as some of the other impediments, Sean?
There was the big ones that they brought up were housing, and then how difficult it is to find good employment. You know, just a job that's year round and pays you halfway decent. And I think a lot of them are finding that. I think, you know, again, look at who's hired at the nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of lost my train of thought there. Going along with that was just the idea that, you know, they know not everybody's going to make it. You know, that it is a real, and they all have stories of that. So-and-so tried and, you know, for whatever reason had to go back.
You know, I want to get one thing in here that I'm not sure you guys remember. But it was about 10 or 15 years ago, Outside Magazine had a list of the hippest zip codes. And guess whose zip code was right near the top, at or near the top of the list? It was Grand Marais.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of ahead of the prediction. They saw this somehow. Of course, the Outside Magazine is the youth crowd. That's the outdoor youth crowd that you're talking about. Yeah. That's a part of what you're talking about
here. It's a part, but... the other thing that I was hearing from them is another thing that's attracting them here is you can do your creative thing when you know, their reality is we can't follow a career path. That option isn't available to us. Mm-hmm. So we have to pick our own paths, and it's much easier to do here. Mm-hmm. You can do that stuff and survive. And that's another thing that's, you know, attracting them here is that they are able to, you know, just leap and do this stuff. And you've got a lot of young people that are, you know, doing it.
Yep.
Well, I remember obviously further back than most folks do these days, and just the restaurants alone, I think of Elroy Cafe, which is long gone, and and Mabel's, and Blue Water is still here, but the
Blue Water, all that has Elroy.
Yes, you're right. No, I lost my train of thought. But now, you know, we have so many different types of restaurants and so many successful higher-end restaurants that, you know, you see articles in the New York Times about them. You see articles in the Minneapolis paper about them. You would never see an article in the Minneapolis paper about Mabel's Cafe.
Well, you might, but
not for the food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just an example of how things have evolved in ways that draw people.
Yeah,
and really make us a destination rather than somewhere where you drive to get up the trail or you drive through to go to Canada.
Right, right. And it's, you know, I think the trendy term for it is livability. Mm-hmm. You know, that you've got these options. And, you know, I've talked to people wiser than me, too, that say, you know, if you want to attract urban people, which we need to do here, you have to provide them with what they expect and what they're used to. Mm-hmm. You know, that's pretty much what that's where it's at. I think some of our northern neighbors haven't figured that out yet, tourism-wise. Mm-hmm. Won't name names or anything, but right. I get around to some other northern communities, and, mm-hmm. and I don't mm-hmm. see it happening, no. you know. But it is happening in Duluth, Thunder Bay, and Grand Marais, and it's, mm-hmm. I think, it you know, rising tide lifts all boats there, too.
That's right. We're speaking with Sean Parrish, and Sean is the publisher. He's the editor and lead writer for Northern Wilds, a publication that serves the whole North Shore, South Shore as well, I believe.
No, just the North Shore.
North Shore.
Yeah.
And also Highway 61.
Those people.
Oh, okay. You're just limiting yourself along here. Someday you might travel across the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sean has just written a very lively article in the latest edition of Northern Wilds about how hip Grand Marais has become and how it's more recognizable than ever.
Well, the title of the article is Grand Marais Renaissance, A New Generation Makes a Creative Start. Mm-hmm. Exactly what we've been talking about.
Yes. Where do you think it's going to go? Is this something that is going to build on itself, Sean?
Well, I think, you know, any sort of boom eventually subsides. You just don't want it to burst. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll continue to build. I don't see why it wouldn't continue to build on itself, because the community just seems to have positioned itself in that direction. And then I think there is some energy out there about thinking about what the community's future should look like, what sort of economy it should have. I don't think there's been a lot of deep thought about that for a while, mm-hmm. maybe a decade or more, where, you know, and there is some people, you know, with the Cook County Go team and, you know, that group of people looking at the economy and just what do we have now, what could we have. I think that'll help.
Well, and a lot of these institutions that have grown up here now are really strong. I mean, you think take North House and the Art Colony, they're going gangbusters right now.
Yeah.
And the Playhouse is doing well, so.
Yeah. What role do you think the West End has had in all this? They have probably developed stronger, faster than this part of the county. They also have really promoted the music scene mm-hmm. and got that going with Lutzen Mountains being in the lead there, but now also all across Cook County.
Yep, yep.
And
that certainly has helped.
Recognize that nightlife had to happen if we're going to have skiers,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I think another thing that's helped a lot that people don't think about a lot, I just happen to see her on a daily basis, but, you know, Joan Farnham has been plugging along with her North Shore art scene for mm-hmm. probably close to a decade now, and she created a scene. It's not that it didn't exist before, but she made it gel in a way that everybody in the community can see it.
Makes you realize how big it is, the scene, when you read what Joan... Joan has.
Yeah, and also WTIP, that it brings that information to you on a daily basis. So mm-hmm.
And it's out there on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just never fails to boggle my mind, is mm-hmm. just how much goes on here, you know, day in, day out.
Yes.
So
Well, let's hope that we can continue. I know that having pulp piles down on Coast Guard Point and down in the park and rafts in the harbor weren't conducive for moving ahead in tourism and destination.
No, probably not.
No.
Yeah.
And they've been gone for a while.
They have been gone for a while.
So,
They went back in the 70s, didn't they? I mean, there was actually a pulp pile there, I think, when I first moved here.
I think 72 or something like that might have been the last crossing.
Last crossing. They were still yarding down there into the 90s, though.
Yeah, that's true.
In the winter, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a process. I had one more question for you, Sean. I know you're a busy guy, and we sure appreciate your time. But how do you think Grand Marais has avoided some of the types of development that might have been detrimental to this growth?
That's a good question. There's certainly a deep-seated attitude in Grand Marais that it doesn't want to change. Mm-hmm. Even though, as we've just been talking, it's been changing like crazy.
Without the infrastructure really changing that
right.
much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And something's working there. I think part of it, too, is we're so remote. I know my business has some pretty quiet times of year. Buck's pointing at himself. Yeah.
I know quiet.
Yeah, you're coming in with the big franchise. I bet that gives you pause.
Yeah, well...
hard to have Walmart here.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe
although
the winters.
The Canadians.
Canadians are becoming a bigger part of our economy right along as the exchange is good.
Yeah, we do the Thunder Bay Sports Show. We have a booth there every year. And we always have a little thing on our booth that says Lunch in Grand Marais. And it's got a little picture of a red convertible. Mm. And that picture draws probably 50% of the people walking past us to the booth to come mm-hmm. over and tell us how much they love Grand Marais and how often they're here.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're here for lots of different reasons. They know the shore well. They know the Superior Hiking Trail well. More and more of them are getting to know the Gunflint Trail.
And they love to eat in town.
And they mm-hmm. love to eat in town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they come down and win the dragon boat race.
Yeah, well, that's a foregone conclusion. You know, we've been talking with Sean Parrish, and Sean, as I mentioned, is the editor, publisher, and lead writer of Northern Wilds, and also has a Highway 61 publication, both North Shore of Lake Superior publications. Sean, in his latest edition, which has just come out today, Dick, you've got the title of that article. It's what we've been talking about.
Grand Marais Renaissance, A New Generation Makes a Creative Start.
And it's well worth reading. Where can folks find a copy of that, Sean?
Well, they can find it all over the place. We have racks all around town. I think we probably have a dozen distribution points in town. Mm-hmm. And then over 200 locations between Duluth and Thunder Bay.
And the West End can find them as well?
Yeah.
And they're out right now.
No, they'll be out as of Monday.
They'll be out on Monday, so
yep.
don't start tearing the store apart till Monday comes.
No, they just arrived at the office today, and I did not have time to get them all over the place.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Sean, as always, it's such a treat to have you on the show here, and I hope that you could be a little more regular visitor. I know you've got a lot going on all the time.
Okay, so. Yeah. Well, just... give me time to plan it, and I can usually make it.
Sean Parrish, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean.